Welcome, everybody. I am William DeHewitt, and I am broadcasting live from the vast plains of the Free State, somewhere in the old Boer Republic. I'd like to thank everyone for joining me tonight, and for Richard and Revision Media for allowing me to use the airwaves. I think I have an interesting show lined up for you tonight. It starts with that commercial that I created. I think that says, or will set the tone for what I will be speaking of tonight. Yes, many of you know that I reside in South Africa, and that the Aryan man's existence is threatened every second of the day. Therefore, it is my duty to warn my folk on whom the threat is. So I'm sorry if it came across a little racist or anti-Semitic. Oy vey, can't have that now, can we? But yes, it is imperative, folks, that you understand whom your enemies are and just whom is out to get you. It is the blacks whom the Jew uses to genocide Aryans, not only in South Africa, but around the white world. Recently, I've done a show. I believe it was my first No Separation, No Peace broadcast that I did. That was titled Western Civilization is not Aryan civilization. It's Jewish. All right. So whenever I hear people talk about Western civilization, I think they are referring to what's supposed to be known as white civilization. And well, folks, it just isn't white in my eyes whatsoever. When I go outside, especially here in this country, or even in America, and you look around, it's quite self-evident that the civilization that you're residing in is not white or not Aryan. You can see this by the people alone, or you can see this through the signs, the many signs everywhere, signs of these Jew corporations, which enslave us. The same with the institutions, which most people incorrectly assume are Aryan institutions. No, folks, the government which enslaves you is not an Aryan institution. The schools, universities, churches, and other institutions are not Aryan institutions. These are Jewish by nature and are there to keep you down, to keep you from ever, well, to keep you from ever raising your, from rising, from bettering yourself. These institutions keep us dumb, and they give us the false thought that they're there to raise us up. But in essence, again, they're not there for that purpose, folks. They're there to keep you down, to keep you oppressed, and to keep you from ever thinking for yourselves. I can say this with surety because I am a product of many of these institutions, such as the education and university systems. Yes, I have a master's degree in sociology and anthropology, and I can easily show you that, well, we're not taught to actually think for ourselves. I'll give you an example. In any basic sociology 101 class at the university or even the high school level, we are taught and we study sociologists. Who are sociologists? Well, there's several that we are taught to study in the textbooks which are provided to us, and they all oppose one another. Okay? An example would be a sociologist whom is religious or at the same time pro-capitalism, okay? But then on the other hand, they'll give us a sociologist whom is atheist and is, you know, pro-communism. The two that come to my mind would be Max Weber as the, you know, the capitalist and the religious guy. And then you have Karl Marx being the atheist and communist. Now, this is classic Hegelian dialectic where they give you two choices. You choose the communist or the capitalist, Gilliam. You see, I've always had a problem with this when I was in school because I always thought, well, what if I don't want to be a capitalist? Let's say I'm pro-communism, which I'm not. In fact, I'm neither pro-communism nor capitalism because they're just two sides of the same coin, okay? They need one another to work. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is, folks, is that we're not given the tools to actually think for ourselves. And this causes for a society to be dumbed down. So dumbed down that we don't even realize that we are slaves. And I will keep hammering this home that we are slaves because most of us think we're not, because we don't have the shackles on our bodies physically. They think that we are not slaves. When I gave example after example last week on just wage slavery alone, which makes us slaves. But today I am going to be giving more examples on how Western civilization is not Aryan civilization. And, well, hence the title, The More You Know. Isn't it interesting that it seems that in today's societies that it has become the norm for beauty to be replaced with ugliness, or for high standards to be replaced with mediocrity or mediocrity.
Hello?
I even saw... I'm sorry? Oh, is there a listener there?
Yes.
Are you just listening or are you calling in to talk?
I am calling in to talk. I am also a broadcaster with Revision Media on Monday nights. I am in New York State in the United States. And I was listening to what you were just saying, and I am 100% in agreement with everything you said so far. And it's refreshing to hear other than myself basically saying the same thing.
Oh, well, thank you. May I ask your name, please?
I am Rosemary McLeod, and I host the show The Voice of National Socialist Reason on Monday nights, Eastern Standard Time. I'm sorry that I'm plugging in my own show.
No, that's okay. I actually just listened to your first show last night. I finally got around to checking it out. And yeah, I was quite pleasantly surprised to not, I'm not familiar with you and your work. And I was very pleasantly surprised to come across someone else that thinks similarly to myself. That's wonderful. Just 5 years ago, there were not very many of us out there. So,
and there's even less women out there. I find that I listen to more male voices and then female voices, but it's neither here nor there. The truth has to be told. And I totally agree with what you're saying. It is the Jew. It is the filthy, rotten Jew who's doing this, and there's nothing coincidence. It's all deliberate.
Oh, absolutely.
And you mentioned sociology. Well, I don't mind saying I'm 50 years old, and about 7 years ago, I decided to go to college. So here I am in my 40s going to college. And yes, you're right. I was going to sociology. I had been going to college for a while. So I took other sociology classes, and I needed a third class for my major. So I go to another state to finish up so I could go to graduate school. And the teacher is maybe like late 20s, early 30s. And she mentions Karl Marx. And I raise my hand. Here I am in my late 40s. I grew up in the Cold War. I was 20 when the wall came down in Germany and all that good stuff. And I quickly raised my hand. And I said to the professor, if you can call them professors, I call them brainwashers. But anyway, I raised my hand and she says, yes. I said, professor, Karl Marx? I never knew he was a sociology. Odd that they never mentioned this two classes ago when I was taking sociology. I said to her, I thought he was the father of communism. Well, that's all she needed to hear. She gave me the dirty look. She ignored me the whole semester. And really, I couldn't give a damn if she did.
Yeah, it's these classes really warp the minds even more of our people. Not only do they not think for themselves, but then what little bit of open capacity of brain power that is available, it is quickly indoctrinated with nonsense and anti-white rhetoric.
Right.
So, yes.
I took courses in psychology, and they keep mentioning the fraud, not Freud, fraud. And I raised my hand again. I said to the teacher, well, what about Carl Jung? I think he was a brilliant psychologist. And all I got from the teacher was, we're not studying him, we're studying Sigmund Freud. And I was like, well, oddly enough, Carl Jung knew Sigmund Freud. But I never mentioned it, and it was never mentioned. The Jew was given prominence, and the real intellectual, Carl Jung, was ignored, obviously, because he was the German Aryan brilliant psychologist.
Yep, absolutely. I think Carl Jung studied under Freud and quickly made his move away from him. So,
right.
All right. Well, Rosemarie, I just got started here. Would you mind maybe calling or not calling back in? You can stay on the line, but I wanted to get through some the rest of my monologue here and start the show. Would you like to call or come back later?
Yes, I'll be listening through my computer.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, nice to meet you. And stay on the line and be sure to come back a little bit later, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
All right. Yes. So before Rosemarie called, I was speaking of the decline of Aryan civilization, if we can call it Aryan civilization. I suspect that most of our countries, I'm not sure if they've ever really been ours in the first place. A lot of the countries, such as America and South Africa, started off as colonies. And I've come to the conclusion that these colonies were never really ours. Yet we are blamed for the oppression and the enslavement of these other so-called indigenous peoples whom are said to be there before we were, which in the case of South Africa, that is not true. There really was nobody here except for a few Bushmen called the Khoisan. And then in America, you have the Amerindian, whom basically is just a mixed, he's of mixed race. He is, I think, mixed between the Aryan and the Mongolian. I've talked about this extensively in the past. I'm sure I will do a show on that in the future. I think I'm going to have to redo a lot of the shows I've done because the things that the topics I speak of really do need for my newer listeners. They need a foundation. I think a lot of people will think I'm crazy or will think what I say is so outrageous if I don't do preliminary shows covering some of these topics. I just won't. I think I'll come across as too far out there. So, yes, in today's society, folks, ugly is the new beautiful. Mediocrity is the new high standard. Hell, I even saw a commercial on the electronic Jew, otherwise known as the television, that 1 + 1 = 3. I don't remember what the commercial was about. I wish I did. But I think the point they were trying to make is that when you have one product and then another product, and when you combine the two products, you get a third, which is extremely misleading, especially to the young eyes and brains that observe this electronic Bolshevik in all of our homes. So this is what I will be attacking. Why, oh why, do we have to lower our standards? And why do we put up with this? If we live in so-called Aryan civilization or Western civilization that's supposed to be white, why do we continuously have to lower our standards for those whom are not Aryans? It seems that we have to continually water everything down, and we have to keep suppressing the Aryan in order for the mixed race or the Negroid to actually appear as if he is capable. And folks, this is awful on the Aryan psyche. This is awful for the morale of the young Aryan growing up in the world. It seems like standards have been lowered just about everywhere in our society, and it appears to be happening just when we need the highest standards ever. Now, if any society is to compete like academically or in what they call the global market, and for that matter, just on the global stage, well, society must have standards that exceed average and expectations for performance that match the standards. But evidence persists, folks, that tells us that our standards have been lowered, and along with those lower standards, we expect less as well, which I said is extremely just terrible for the Aryan psyche. Now, in what areas have we lowered our standards? I believe that we have lowered our standards in a multitude of areas, such as education, safety, product quality, efficiency, and morality. Yes, some folks might ask why the government has done this, but I will tell you, it's not the government that has lowered the standards. It's actually our slave masters whom have done this to us, and we have accepted it. Now, our government cannot do anything unless we allow it to do so, or so they tell us, right? We relinquish our responsibility when we, well, let's say, don't have a mind of our own to think. And I am here, folks, to try to get you to start thinking for yourselves. Because our standards have not been lowered by design. When we accurately call out Jews for their filth, overt filth, may I add, they're quick to call us anti-Semites and racists, right? While these Jews take a false moral high ground by propping up the filth, the degeneracy, the faggotry, the transgender movement or agenda, and even sodomy and child rape. They lower the societal standards and institutions, folks. And when we call this out, again, we're anti-Semites and racists. And I've had enough, which is why I'm on the air here doing what I do. You know, there's an economist I was listening to, not by choice, but I happened to come across him, and his name was Paul Krugman. Oy vey. And he cited what he called was an old prescription, okay? And he said, when all else fails, lower your standards. Now, I've never heard this expression before, but while it seems pretty damn logical to me coming from a Jew, no, not the quote seems logical. It just seems logical that this filth would come from a Jew's mouth. Now, someone might respond that lowering your standards is terrible because it violates your principles and amounts to settling for less or selling out. But according to Krugman, or they, lowering your standards is a reasonable part of the general process of revising personal goals. And here are some cases where lowering standards can be a good mental strategy. Again, according to economist Paul Krugman, he says perfectionists sometimes make themselves miserable by expecting to accomplish the highest possible goals in work, school, or sports. And he says that some people looking for romantic relationships have an extremely rigid checklist that prospective partners must satisfy. He also said that parents sometimes have unreasonable aspirations for their children, requiring them to follow exactly in their footsteps or far surpass their own accomplishments. Well, I have nothing, I don't have a problem with that. I think our children need to surpass the accomplishments of their parents, to be honest, or else take a different path if they so choose. But finally, he says, as people age, they lose some of their physical and mental capabilities, making it difficult to maintain earlier levels of performance in work and play. In all of these cases, failure leads to misery, which can only be avoided if people recognize the folly of their exaggerated expectations and revise their standards to fit reality. Be back right after the break, folks. Stay tuned.
flu season's just around the corner. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time? Then get your flu shot and vaccinations at Steinblatt Bergstein Pharmaceuticals, Gilliam. And the Hewitt House of Radio will send you a free Oregon Pine casket handmade by Carpenter Jesus himself. And with no shipping costs.
Wow,
what a deal. Hurry, offer is good while supplies last and for a limited time only.
This commercial is a joke to make you think in an attempt to save Goyim lives.
I'd like to thank Rosemary for calling in that first half hour. However, I must admit, I was a bit thrown off there. I wasn't expecting a phone call that soon. And to top it off, well, for some reason, my computer froze up. And, well, when you're on the air live, it's very easy for your mind to go blank. And I have to admit there, I was a bit thrown off that first half hour. So please excuse me, folks. Since that happened, though, I think I'm going to go off in another different direction. Not so much. It's still on topic of what I originally thought I was going to do. But, you know, there's only so many ways I can say that Jews have made ugly the new beautiful, that 1 + 1 = 3, that mediocrity is the new standard. Yes, we know this. But I think what I would really like to do is ask the question, how? How has this happened? Why has this happened? When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle. Oh, it was beautiful and magical. And all the birds in the trees, well, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, playfully watching me. But then they send me away to teach me how to be sensible, logical, oh, responsible, practical. And they showed me a world where I could be so dependable, oh, clinical, intellectual, cynical. Yes, folks, these are the lyrics to the logical song by Supertramp. This song, even when I was a young boy, resonated with me for some reason. It was actually gave me a, It gave me a feeling of that the world is not what it seems. Yes, that song used to give me the chills growing up. And I, now as a more learned man, having gone through their education systems, through their religious institutions, I am now at the point to ask how or why we allow this to go on. And it led me to a topic that I know a lot of people will probably, I don't know, not take seriously. But to me, folks, it's very serious. And that area of discussion is the straw man. Yeah, what does that have to do with Jews lowering the standards and making ugly the new beautiful? Well, folks, to me, it has everything to do with it. Because the very principle, the foundation of our society is based on this straw man, or what is known as straw man. And I'll explain exactly what that is. Your straw man is your name in all capital letters. Okay? For instance, look on your driver's license. Look on your birth certificate. Your name is always in all capital letters, which suggests that you are part of the corporation. You are a dead entity that is traded via the stock market. Yes, your birth certificate is actually traded on the stock market, just as your social security number is. And I believe the going rate for it is $200 a pop. So whenever a mother and father have or bring a child into this world, they are instantly traded on the stock market. And this is where it all begins. Honestly, I did not have the intent to talk about straw man. And I won't be talking about this the entire show. But I have to get this point across, that this is where it all begins. When you come out of the womb, you are given this persona. And this persona is your name in all capital letters. And this is the vehicle that we use to be a part of this civilization that is not Aryan. Yes, it's Jews whom run the stock market. It's Jews whom are CEOs of these corporations and institutions that we are, well, forced into if we want to make anything of ourselves in this world, okay? So I feel we really must understand what this straw man is. Your straw man is a non-living fiction which uses a name which can easily be confused with your name.
Hello. Rosemary had some questions about South Africa. It's interesting to be in touch now with someone who lives there for all of us here at the station.
Okay, yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Hello. I was concerned because you just disappeared, and I've had people on my show from South Africa, and but I've also talked to Boers, and they would disappear for like 2-3 days, and all of a sudden I'm beside myself, because we know there's a lot of violence, and it is anti-white racism, okay? It's obvious, you know, and that confounded song, Kill the Boers. I was concerned about you, but apparently you're fine, and it was just technical issues. What Microsoft does is fill your computer up with backdoor Trojans, and they can literally fry your computer. It's possible it could have happened, and I am probable, and I have no doubt about it. It's to silence us, and they're so desperate to silence us that they're grasping at straws, and even if they have to destroy our expensive machines, they'll do it.
Rosemary just brought up the electrical rationing, and I recalled you bringing that up recently. You still get electricity shut off at midnight, is that correct, or some of your services?
What they do is it's called load shedding, and we haven't had it for a month or two, but generally what happens is they have schedules where they will shut the electricity off for 2 hours at a time. Generally, it's twice a day. Depending on what part of the country you're in, depends on what time your electricity is shut off. But, when I first moved here, it was in the morning, basically from 8 to 10, and then from 5 to, or from 4 to 6 in the evening. At the most inconvenient times, when someone's getting ready for work or when you're trying to cook dinner. But then when I moved to the Eastern Cape, I didn't have the electricity shut off for load shedding for almost 2 years. But because Eskom is so inept and so in debt and run by these Negroids who steal everything, the power just goes off by itself. We didn't have load shedding in the Eastern Cape, but the power went off sometimes 2-3 times a day. And it fried, actually, 2 computers I have because of the surges. I didn't have the best surge protector at the time. It's a mess. Everything's a mess here. I'll tell you a quick story, especially when I was living in the Eastern Cape up in the mountains there. I have prepaid electricity. So basically, we have a prepaid meter, and you go to the municipality and you'll buy units, of electricity. And, when it runs out or before it runs out, you go buy more. Well, we're giving our shekels to these Negroids working at the municipality buildings, the office, the electricity office. And I later learned to find out that they're pocketing this money. And so there was about a year where they were shutting us off for 2 hours a day. And it was because Eskom is the electric company in this country. They were shutting off my particular municipality for 2 hours. And this was because the municipality was not paying Eskom, the electric company. So even though I am paying for electricity, it's obvious because it's prepaid. I'm buying it and I'm using it, right? I'm not getting a bill in the mail every month. I'm buying it as I go. And even though I have the receipt right here showing that I bought electricity and I punched it into my prepaid machine, they still punish all of us. Even though it's the municipality workers, the Negroids, who are pocketing the money and Eskom's not getting paid. So they, in essence, were shutting everybody in the municipality off. We were all being punished while the municipality stayed on and operated with electricity. This is how backwards and screwed up it is in this country.
Well, it wasn't always like that. Correct?
No.
When the whites were in power, South Africa was a jewel, a gem. Everything worked. And this I know because I've had Boers tell me this themselves. born and raised there, men and women well into their 50s, 60s, and 70s, okay? And of course, you hand over a beautiful, viable, working civilization to a bunch of below 50 IQ Negroes. What else are you going to get? Now, I heard that they were rationing water at one point. Is that true?
Well, it's a big country. Where I am, I don't think that's ever happened, but I'm sure that is true somewhere.
Now,
I had my water. The water gets turned off. No. The water gets turned off quite often because of the maintenance or the infrastructure crumbling. So, yeah, that happens quite often, too. The infrastructure of everything in this country has deteriorated. Hell, there's a joke that, well, I think I call it a joke, but there was actually an MP whom blamed the Boers for our water problem because they made the dams too big. You understand what I'm saying here? We're out of water because the Boers built the dams too big.
Yeah, that's typical of them. Yeah, 50 below IQ. Yeah. Oh, God.
We're not out of water because they don't, because they can't, you know, operate a dam or a reservoir functionally. No, we're out of water because the Boers built the dams too big.
And I like it. I also heard that the Negroes are yelling for reparations. I know the history of the Boers, okay? Because Boers have given me books and I've studied them and whatever, and they've told me about the history of South Africa. Before the Dutch who settled there, there was nothing but a handful of Bushmen, like you were saying. And it's obviously, you and I know, having been you living there and me speaking directly to Boers, they were nothing before there, and then a handful of Bushmen, okay? But yet these Negroes yell for reparations. Because why? The Jew whispers in their ear, hey, ask for reparations like they do in America, like they're doing in Canada, in Europe, and everywhere white people are.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if you listened to my show last week, but I did a very brief, but yet it was in depth at the same time of the real history of South Africa. Not even really the Boers really understand it. Now, you see, the colony of South Africa has never been in our control. It's always been controlled by either the Dutch East India Company, which was owned by de Rothschild, the same scoundrel that controls the currencies of today. And after the Napoleonic Wars, de Rothschild, made his Dutch East India Company bankrupt and allowed the Yiddish British of the United Kingdom to take over the colony of South Africa. Now, the real South Africa that we can actually, or the Boers can actually stake claim to, are one of the many 12 previous republics that the Boers had created. Now, you have to understand the primary peoples of South Africa are of French, Dutch, and Germanic people, okay? Mm-hmm. However, the French, whom were the Huguenots, they, to my estimation, were crypto-Jews who converted to Calvinism or the Reformed Church. And they were run out of France and, migrated to the Netherlands or Holland. And this is where they eventually came from Holland to South Africa. So you have a mixture of these crypto-Jew French Huguenots who were intermingling with a lot of the Dutch, whom we have to be very careful. You know, people think Dutch, they think white people, but yeah, I don't think Holland is controlled by the Dutch. It's always been controlled by Jews, or if it hasn't always been controlled by Jews, it's for the longest time been controlled by Jews. It wasn't until the British Empire said enough of these French Huguenots and Dutchmen, so-called, they're lousy workers. We're trying to build a colony here, and these are the worst people. They don't know how to farm. They're lazy. They don't want to work. So they brought in and asked for Germans to be brought in. And so 6,500 Germans were brought to this country. They were mercenaries who were supposed to have fought in the Crimean War, but the Crimean War stopped. And so, but they were still invited to South Africa, and they settled in the Eastern Cape where I lived, actually. And they eventually migrated to the northeastern part of the country, and this is where the Boer republics were founded. These republics were our people's republics, right? They were separate from the colonies. And when they discovered like gold and diamonds and all types of other minerals there, this is when the Yiddish British of the United Kingdom said, hey, we can't allow these Germans, these Boers, these heathens, we can't allow them to have all this diamonds and gold. And so they created war in order to strip the Boers of, you know, claiming the minerals and the diamonds and the gold. And this is how the Boer Wars happened.
Right. And the two Anglo-Boer Wars.
Yes, it just goes to show that we are not allowed to have our own countries. We're not allowed to prosper. We are the subjects and, you know, are under the rule of our of these Jews and their corporations and their governments.
I mean, we can free ourselves from that. I personally don't have any stake in any corporation. I follow National Socialist Economics. Okay, it's interest free and it's viable and it's healthy. Okay, I got rid of Microsoft, for example. That's a big corporation run by a Jew. I think he's a Jew, and I'm freeing myself from all of that. And we can live now. It's going to be difficult to live without all the quote unquote creature comforts. But you know what? If we have true Aryan blood in us, yeah, we'll struggle, but we'll survive.
Yeah, well, this is what I've been preaching now for 3 or 4 years. You know, it's going to be extremely painful to separate from this corporate government system of our enemies. But the more of us whom reject it and fall out of it, the easier it'll be. You know, all of us Aryans have a gift or a talent and are extremely creative. Now, the more of us who fall out of the system, that will force us to work amongst each other and to trade amongst each other and to provide trade services and goods. And ultimately, this is what our enemies do not want. But yeah, I'm all for, you know, my brand of national socialism, if you will, is for us to reap the benefits of Mother Nature, and instead of these corporations, you know, getting fat off of it, no, it's ours. It is, and then if you include our creativity and our trading of goods and services along with reaping the benefits of Mother Nature, such as oil. You know, we should be able to sell that oil, and as a nation, which means a folk or a family, a race of one blood, yeah, we should be able to reap the benefits of that. And to me, that's what National Socialism is.
Right.
But they'll never allow us to do that unless we get really disciplined and decide it's better to, in other words, I'm trying not to use words that, what I'm saying is we're going to have to get down and dirty. We're going to have to get bloody if we ever want to be free.
It will come to that. We're not at that point yet. And I always talk about that on my show. We don't physically have the numbers because, one, we need numbers. Two, we need the tools to effect an effective defensive move. And I'm choosing my words correctly. Okay, but you get where I'm going at. And
yeah,
we don't have that at this point.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't think we need the numbers. I think we just need discipline. And I hate to use the word educated, but we need some intelligent and disciplined Aryans whom are wise enough to know that we have to scrap the entire system. You see, today we have Boers talking about self-determination, right? They want their old republics back. But they're fundamentally flawed, where they are willing and want to use the United Nations laws and statutes under self-determination, which means that they have to abide by the laws of the United Nations, which is going to keep us slaves. They think that we can use the enemy system and be free, and it's impossible. We have to reject it all.
Actually, you and I think alike, because I often tell people we cannot vote our way out of this. So I tell people, so I'm sitting back. I'm going to keep talking the truth. I'm going to keep waking up our people, as many as our people, because I'm not delusional. I know that the bulk of our people, and I'm going to say it, deserve to be genocided. Okay? They're garbage. You got to see what I see outside my door on a daily basis. These people, they don't deserve to live. But there is a good bulk of people, of our people, that are sitting on the fence. And those are the people I want to grab before the Bolsheviks grab them. All right. But I tell people we are not going to vote ourselves out of it. The old order must perish. And in the blood-soaked ashes of the old order, that's when we build the new order. Because if you want, like you just said, if you want, oh, I want my country back. But if the foundation is the old order, then this is going to be a repeat for future generations. And that's what I don't want. And it sounds like that's what you don't want.
Oh, absolutely not. I want nothing to do with the enemy. I want them. See, I consider myself to be a separatist. People confuse me or misunderstand me very often. They say, oh, so you want the old apartheid days back? No, I do not. I'm actually anti-apartheid, as the Negroids are, but for a very different reason. I don't think that Negroids, Jews, and coloreds, or any other non-Aryan should be in my country in the first place. I'm not trying to lord over anybody. I'm not thinking that I'm supreme where, you know, when supremacist is implied, it's implied that you're lording over and oppressing others. No, I recognize that my Aryan race is supreme in our creative abilities, in our ingenious, in our beauty. Yes, we are supreme in that way. But I am not a supremacist where I want to lord over anybody. I want to be left alone. And this is what I mean by separatist. We need to be left to our own so that we can reach our own destiny. But this is not allowed, Rosemary. It is not permitted.
Our enemies don't want it. Our enemies want to totally destroy us. And I often tell people, they want to destroy us first because they're in their own nefarious, rotten way. They understand that, yes, we are the superior race. And just like Adolf Hitler, now more than ever, because of our technology, we can kick their asses and then some. And that's why they want to genocide us first, either through miscegenation or outright violence, so that they can lord it over the mud races. Okay? The mud races are easy to just put a yoke on their neck and just, you know, use them as slaves. Well, but not us. Not our race.
Where did the Jew first? And all the mixed races and the Negroids, and they will all disappear because there will be no more funding for them. You see, they use our own, we're taxed, and these taxes are being used to fund the very individuals who are genociding us. Like, see, the Jew uses several proxy armies to do his dirty work because, you know, the Jew will do fuck all. He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to do anything. He wants everything and will use whoever to do it.
Even an entire nation, like the United States. Remember that. You're born here, I'm born here. Even though you moved to another nation, I can hear it in your voice. You're American and I'm first generation American. My parents came from Europe. I actually grew up in Europe, okay? So, and English is not even my first language. But I mean, I came across something. Somebody tagged me on VK, said, Rosie, you got to read this. It was about the Georgia Guidestones. I said, oh, another conspiracy. I hate conspiracies. But when I read it, it made sense. It is the messianic 10 rules for total the new world order. And it's etched in stone. And it looks like a miniature Stonehenge. And it was erected in 1979. And the first one, it said, the world must be reduced to 500 million. And it mentions the new world order. Okay, they don't even hide it anymore. That's what leads me gobsmacked. They don't even hide it. They tell you right in your face, we hate you and we want you gone. But I love my race, and there's no way in hell they're going to disappear. And I'm an Odinist, and I ask my gods and goddesses, let this be the last generation to deal with these people. I am sick and tired of their crap. And that's putting it mildly.
Yep. I hear you.
And we're targeted in every way and shape. Through the attacking our computers. I've been banned. I had my show for a year and a half on Mixler, and I dared to have a guest here in America who is brilliant and brave. And I used to record instantly the minute I went online, and I uploaded it. And I got the permaban telling me that I shouldn't have uploaded it or shared it or whatever. It's my intellectual property. But good thing that I always backed up my shows. So I had the full year and a half. But when I went to grab the three shows I didn't grab, it was gone. So they're stealing our intellectual property. They have stolen from us and shed our precious blood for thousands of years. I doubt that they're going to go for another 6,000 years.
Yep. Well, I had all my websites and archives taken down as well, of all days, on my birthday, November 30th. Thankfully, I had always recorded my own shows as I was broadcasting, so I had everything, you know, on my computer, which could easily, you know, break on me. So I'm trying to get them all uploaded somewhere else again. But yeah, I was using Mixcloud. I had over 100 episodes. Mixcloud was taking down my publications and radio websites. At the time, I had two separate sites. Now I just have it all combined in one. But they were both taken down, and all on the same day. And these were all run through different platforms. You know, my archives were on Mixcloud. My radio site was on Wix site. My publication site was on WordPress. They were all taken down within 24 hours of each other. And yeah, I've been trying to rebuild ever since. And it's really difficult, especially when you're working on limited data here, to re-upload, you know, 80 to 100 megabytes per each show. Yeah, it's just, I've been trying to rebuild, and it's been a long, slow process. But this is what they do. They're trying to discourage us, and I won't quit. To be honest with you, I have nothing better to do, so this is my life, and I don't get paid for
exactly.
it. Exactly. This is my livelihood.
Too. This is my life. I'm 50 years old. I'm physically disabled, but I refuse to ask. I tell everyone, first of all, I don't believe in this country. I follow Anglo-Saxon common law.
I was just talking about that in tonight's show, so I'll have to do that and have you listen. Common law is not our law, Rosemary. That is the law that they impose on us. While they see, there's two different classes. We have the people in capital letters, whom are our slave masters, and then you have us, the citizen, which is just another term for Gentile or Goyim. We are born debtors, and this is what I was talking about with the straw man, how we're born with this persona, and they teach us common law and dog Latin, which is English, and they use legalese. They use the same words we do, but they have different meanings, and common law is the law of the Goyim. So
when I say common law, because I also follow if you read the 25 points of the NSDAP, point 19 of the 25 points of the NSDAP can be applied to us. It clearly states that we must shed Roman law, which is what this country was founded on. It failed us miserably, okay, and embrace common law. Okay, common law is based on nature. Okay, if you go back 1,000 years, our Scandinavian ancestors, our Germanic ancestors, followed. They didn't have laws and like we think laws today, but they followed nature's laws. And this is what I follow. Okay, Anglo-Saxon common law. I get it.
Be careful with that too. Because there's a difference between natural law and the laws of Mother Nature. I've quickly learned this the hard way, too. They have us screwed. Yeah, I'll have to do a show on this for you. I understand what you're saying, and it's not just semantics. People try to say, oh, well, you're just getting technical on me, DeHewitt. No, there's a big, big difference between common law and I understand what you desire or what you say when you say that your common law is your law. But the way they have it, by their definition, common law is for the debtor, for the citizen, for the goyim, for the Gentile.
They can call it whatever they want. I am going to follow natural law. And they can put whatever title and whatever meaning they want behind it. I'm not arguing with you, actually. I agree with you. But I'm just saying. But their meaning and their words mean absolutely nothing to me. And actually, I often say, I am a citizen.
Well, if you're
going
to fight your enemy, they have to mean something to you, Rosemarie, or else you're going to get beat. You have to understand their meanings. You have to understand their rules because, unfortunately, we're playing under their rules. And until we're able to free ourselves, you have to know that you have to understand. I don't mean to criticize you. I'm not criticizing you.
Oh, I know.
I'm just trying to bring it to your attention. You have to be careful. Common law is not what you think it is. Common law is for the debtor, for, you know, the slave. And I am a citizen of no nation.
I belong to no country.
That's good.
As long as the Jews rule our countries, I belong nowhere, and I am a citizen of nowhere. When I was younger, I often tell these people, okay, I mean the people out there on my show, when I was younger, I was an anarchist, in the real sense of the word anarchist, and no, I was not a terrorist. I never committed a crime or hurt anyone, but I was an ardent anarchist because I never believed in any country, I mean, in any government, okay? But, you know, you grow older, you grow wiser, thank the gods for that, okay? I eventually left my anarchist worldview because it's a flawed worldview, we know that. I am an ardent national socialist. And we can free ourselves, like I said, get rid of let the old world, the old order die, and let the new order rise in its place. But this has to die completely. But we can have our version of a national socialist country, at least here in America. I don't know how things are in South Africa.
Yeah, well, we need to do, we have to make that happen. It's not going to happen by itself.
No.
All right, well, let's see here. It's past showtime here. I really need to go. I'm sorry to cut the conversation short here. But
no, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the banter. I appreciate your point of view. I appreciate also, we are not going to always agree with each other in every point, but we're civilized. That's Aryanness right there.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, I disagree with you. I think just their terms make it so that the way I understand the terms, I don't want to get caught. Semantics, they use semantics against us, and we have to understand the meanings behind these terms, or else people who do know the difference when I hear you say common law, for instance, I know better that common law is the law of the slave, all right? But I understand what you mean by it, but I also, in turn, understand the real meaning behind it, and I'm quick to distinguish between the two, and I don't want to... I don't care what other people think. That's not what I'm saying, but I don't want to be labeled as something when I know something is fundamentally wrong about it or flawed about it, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, but really, Rosemary, thank you, and I'm just going to sign out.
Take care and be safe out there. 88.
Absolutely. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And cheers, everybody.